Hello, and welcome to episode 99 of the Planning Period Podcast, your Ed Breakroom. I'm your host, Brad Shuffler. 99 episodes of the podcast. That seems crazy. Almost as crazy as the last few weeks have felt. With the school year starting, finishing a very difficult term of my Ed Leadership Masters, and a hurricane messing with our school schedule already. So this week we're going to be doing something a little different. I reached out to my Twitter followers a month or so ago and asked what they thought I should do for episode 100 of the show. One of the responses is that they would like to hear my students speak and share their voices. I liked the idea, so followed up on Twitter and asked what questions they would like to hear from my students. On the first day of school, my classes took turns, one at a time, coming up to the microphone and answering the questions suggested by my Twitter followers. So today you're going to get to hear my students' thoughts on their first day of school in the 2019-2020 school year. Before we get to that, let me paint a little picture of my teaching context. I am the instructional technology coach for a large middle school in Central Florida. This year, our school was relieved by a new middle school down the road. Last year, we had over 2,800 students and 90 portables, and this year, we are down to a nice small 1,800. Actually, the running joke on campus is that Thanos snapped and we lost half of our population. I know, you are probably hearing me say small at 1,800 and thinking I'm a little crazy, but it is really true. Our leadership team have all felt at one time or another this year that we seem like a small school now. It's kind of amazing how used to something you can get, even when your normal is having every task on campus require logistics planning and load balancing. So I was brought to the school last year by the principal, Mr. Jackson, and the assistant principal of instruction, Nicole Mutters, both former guests on the show. I had previously been the instructional technology coach at a large high school in the area, where Mutters was the dean at the time, and launched the one-to-one laptop initiative there. When the middle school was getting ready to launch their program, Mutters convinced Mr. Jackson that they needed me to come over to help make their program a success. As I had been getting a little frustrated at my old school anyways, the leap made sense to me also, so I agreed. My classes are not traditional classes for my students. My students make up our student tech support group for the school. They are interns more than students, and as interns, their job is to help ensure that the rest of the school has working laptops. I have students assigned to me all 7 periods of the day, so that if a student on campus has a problem at any time, they can come down to tech support and get the assistance that they need. This is my second year running this program at the middle school, so I have a collection of returning students who were with me last year and new students. I average about 6 students a period. This clip is about 6 minutes in total of my students each answering one question. Bear with it. I know the audio quality isn't great. I've cleaned it up as much as I can, but first day of school and everything else, we did the best we could. Also, stay tuned after the clip as I'm going to give a quick update on my master's program, which I'm halfway through, and teasing what is coming next week in episode 100. So sit back and enjoy episode 99 of the Planning Period Podcast, my interview with my tech support students.
What made you excited about coming back to school and making new friends?
Just a second. Okay.
What made you excited about coming back to school? My new class and everything.
Okay. What is one way you could productively change the school system? I think one way we could productively change the school system is by increasing teachers' allowance or paychecks, because they get paid very little.
What is your biggest pet peeve about school?
My biggest pet peeve about school is waking up in the morning.
What made you excited about coming back to school? What made me excited about coming back to school was being able to go to tech support.
What made you excited about coming back to school?
Trying to meet new kids.
What made you excited about coming back to school?
Seeing the old friends that you haven't seen in person since last year.
Another class, right?
What do you wish there would be more of at school? I kind of wish there would be more ways to access the clubs, because at things like open house, all they had was 3 clubs.
What is one part of the school day that you're looking forward to? I'm looking forward to my math class.
What is one part of your day that you're looking forward to? I'm looking forward to lunch and leaving school.
What do you wish there would be more of at school? I wish there was more restrooms around the place.
Nick. I'm playing Let's Go.
What made you excited about coming back to school to make new friends and have fun at school?
I have three.
What do you wish there would be more of at school? I wish there would be more people and good teachers.
What is one part of the day you look forward to? I look forward to band because I've never tried it and it seems fun.
What made you excited about coming back to school? I was excited about my classes and learning new things and making new friends.
But
I forgot my question.
They're right there.
Oh.
What is one part of the school day you're looking forward to? I'm looking forward to going to theater.
One part I look forward to. Spending time with friends.
Okay.
What is one part of the school day you look forward to? It's probably lunch or PE.
Lunch or PE.
What made you excited about coming back to school? I like having to walk in between classes.
You like to walk?
In between classes.
You couldn't just walk at home.
What made you excited about coming back from school, helping others, and making new friends?
All right.
What is one of the part of school day you look forward to? Well, I look forward to the electives. What is one part of the school day you look forward to? I look forward to the bus ride.
What made you excited about coming back to school? Probably going to sixth grade.
What made you excited about coming back to school was meeting new people and seeing my old friends.
What made you most excited about coming back to school? Mine was coming back to see my old friends.
What made you excited about coming back to school? Definitely tech support. It's fun to just learn how to help people with their computers and other things like that.
Okay, so, what do you wish there could be more of at school? Is this thing on?
Yep, it's on. Okay.
What do you wish there could be more of at school? For me, it'd be more free time in classes.
Yep, read the question and get the answer. Okay.
What made you excited about coming back to school? That is seeing all of the friends I didn't get to see at this time.
What made you excited about coming back to school? What made me excited is seeing all the friends I haven't seen in a while and just talking to them.
What made you excited about coming back to school? My thing was that I get more learning opportunities than I did come to.
What is your biggest pet peeve about school? My biggest pet peeve is whenever I don't understand a subject the teacher is talking about.
Watch the wish there would be more of at school.
Okay. Students, thank you for joining me on the show and lending your voices to the Planning Period podcast. As I said, I wanted to do a little bit of an update of where I'm at with my master's program so far. So, first of all, just finished term 3, and I will say class was much better. Regular listeners of the show or anyone that follows my Twitter knows that this master's program has been a definite struggle for me. I keep telling people when they ask, how's it going? I say awful is kind of my default reply. And I always say that I really thought being a teacher for 9 years, 10 years would have made me a better student. The truth is it hasn't. This term was a lot better. I really enjoyed my professors. I really enjoyed the content. We talked about leading a diverse school and building a school community and building a community school specifically. And it was a lot of great discussion. My cohort and I, the fellow teachers that are in the program with me, we all got to know each other a lot better and have some excellent discussions. And I really, really enjoyed going to class over the summer, which was a surprise for me because especially over the summer, I really thought I wasn't going to want to go. But class itself, I really, really enjoyed. It also helped that I enjoyed class this term because one of my professors was our executive area director. So like my boss's boss at our district specifically. So that's a great connection to have. It's someone that I was able to network with, but she also is just a good person. So it was nice to be able to build that relationship and not despise going to class. Work for the class was a different story. I struggled worse this term to get anything done than I had previously. It wasn't that the work was bad. Maybe partly because it was the summer, partly because then the school year was starting and things were just busy and I don't know. But either way, getting the work done was a real struggle. I know for sure what part of it was, though. As part of my program, I have to do essentially a master's thesis. They don't call it that. It's a master's project, but essentially it's a master's thesis. And one of the things we had to do this term for that master's thesis was do what they called a topic discussion and a topic selection. We had to come up with three topics that we wanted to consider researching and write this 50-plus page paper on as we finish out the next year of our program. Well, people, listeners of the show won't be surprised that my gut was I wanted to do this project on building school and morale in culture and climate. And that was what I wrote my paper for. And one of the points was you had to find the data to support it and then also identify data you still needed. So I said, I don't have a ton of data currently. Here's what I know from my own personal experience, my own anecdotal evidence. And I've talked before on the show about how despite the fact that our teachers all knew we were going to have to cut 60-something teachers, only three had applied to go somewhere else, meaning we really got to keep the best of the best. And to me, that directly applies to student achievement. According to my advisor for my master's thesis, it does not. In fact, she said in no uncertain terms that that topic would not be one I could even work on. There would be no way to connect it back to student achievement. You guys might not be surprised to know I took that pretty hard. That really hurt that I was not going to be able to do the project I really wanted to do. In fact, I kind of fell into a bit of a crisis there for a while. I ended up having a phone call with my advisor for that assignment, and by the end of that call, I was done. She reiterated again that I was not going to be able to use that project, and that the reality is that even as a leader, sometimes you don't get to focus on what you want to focus on because you get those directives from above. And I very nearly quit this program over it. I took it real hard. And I don't even now fully understand why it hit me so hard. For one thing, I don't want to spend a year researching an assignment or a topic I'm not interested in. And what I'm interested in is building a school culture and climate, because I think that is what one of my strengths as a leader is and will be as a principal. I think that it is something that is overlooked, and without that, everything else becomes secondary if your teachers are miserable on campus every day. Any new initiative is going to fail if your teachers are not feeling supported and like the school cares about them. So I think it does directly apply to student achievement. I think it is the most important thing that a principal can work on. And so to be told by this person who I do respect and I know was a very successful principal in our area that what I want to talk about was not going to work and was not going to be important, really, really put me in a tough spot for a while. And it took a lot of long conversations to come up with what I was willing to do and what I did want to talk about and could actually put that to paper. But my desire to get any work done for the program was shot pretty hard in that moment. But I got through it eventually. My final topic decision for anyone who is interested is I'm actually going to be discussing the power of gatekeepers and the negative influence of gatekeepers on a program. I looked at algebra 1 pass rates in our middle school for the last 3 years and noticed that last year our pass rate went up, but the number and percentage of students who took the Algebra 1 exam went drastically down. And the reason for that was a district push saying that we could only put level 5 performing students, or our highest performing students on our state standard test, into the Algebra 1 program in 8th grade, where previously we had put 4s and 5s for sure, and a lot of 3s and even a couple of 2s had been pushed into an algebra program in 8th grade, which is a pretty intense acceleration for a student who is, by measure of the test, not on standard or not on grade level or only right at grade level. And the result was that the majority of students who took the test still passed, despite the fact that we had put these lower performing, quote unquote, lower performing students into the class. So it's an interesting dichotomy because on one hand, we increased our pass rate, which is an overall positive for our school grade. But as I said in my paper to my professor, I can't help but not see the 40 extra, 60 extra kids, I forget the number, but I can't help but see the extra kids who didn't get to take algebra their 8th grade year and who could have potentially passed. And it's a pretty drastic difference. So that's going to be where my paper focuses. That's what I'll be doing a lot of research on, is equity and equality in classes and in schools. So that's going to be what I'm going to be researching a lot, which means that you'll probably see a lot of guests that are in that space, and have already started to, but a lot of guests that work in that space coming up on the podcast, because I really want to make sure that the work I'm doing is having value to me, and if it's not something where I'm interviewing and discussing with people directly who are in this work, it won't have that connection for me. Plus, as a nice little bonus, I can always use my interviews as sources in my research, which is kind of nice. So I can hit two birds with one stone, if you will. Starting a new term, last night actually as I'm recording this, but starting a new term for the program and off to a good start so far. I like the professor, the content should be good. We've got law this term, which people have told me is one of the more challenging ones. So I'm excited to kind of learn about something I'm not at all familiar with. I'm not very familiar at all with the law components, the legal components of what we do, especially as an administrator and in a school. So I'm excited to learn about that this term. And that's kind of the upcoming and the past with the master's program. Last thing I wanted to leave you guys with today is a little tease. Next week is episode 100 of the podcast. And in discussing and thinking and deciding what I wanted to do with the show, I ultimately decided that I wanted to turn the mic over to someone else and have them interview me for the podcast. So episode 100 will feature my dad again, who you all have heard me mention on the show many times and has been a guest a couple times, but it will feature my dad, but he will be running the show. So he's going to be interviewing me. I gave him free rein. I said he can ask my 3 questions if he wants, but he can also ask any other questions he might want to ask. So no idea what he's planning on doing with that. We're going to be recording that in a couple days and then releasing it next week. So I am very excited to release that and record that and have that available to you guys as we round out the 100th episode of the Planning Period podcast. I just want to thank you all so much for joining me on this journey and being a part of the show. I love when everyone reaches out on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and tells me that they've listened and enjoyed it or heard something they liked or challenged it. I've been loving getting to be a guest on other people's show as a result of this podcast. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey, and I'm sure that I will talk more about that next week on episode 100. But again, thank you all as listeners for all of your support and help with the podcast. And I love all of the support and all the things this podcast has brought to me. I've loved this 100 episode journey, nearly 100 episode journey. So thank you all very much. If you have comments or questions about the show, you can always connect with me on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at Brad Schreffler. I love to hear from you there. That's also a great place to connect if you'd like to be a guest on the show. You can also visit the feedback page on my website, which gives you additional options for feedback, and you can find that at bradschreffler.com/feedback. Until next week, find something you would be willing to do 100 of. Music for the Planning Period podcast is the song Vicious by Kevin MacLeod, used under Creative Commons. You can find him at incompetech.com. The Planning Period podcast is also a proud member of the VoiceEd Radio Network. a 24-hour radio network all about education all the time. Voice Ed Radio. Your voice is right here.